Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here on Highland, where we take a look at the big sporting stories happening across the Northwest. I am Mark Gallagher and we have a very busy hour lined up between now and 8 o'clock, so let's get straight into it. So what's coming up on tonight's show? Well, it is the opening weekend in the Irish Tarmac Championship and it all gets up and running with the Galway International Rally. We'll be speaking with rally legend Rory Kennedy ahead of the season opener. We'll be talking to Declan Kerr about the upcoming Donegal Sports Star Awards, and in our soccer segment we'll be hearing from Derry City players James McLean and Michael Duffy ahead of the new League of Ireland season. And Strabane meet Derrickview in a local derby in the NIFL Premier Intermediate League on Saturday, so we'll be hearing from both of those camps to look ahead to that one. But tonight there can only be one place to start, and another national title is headed the way of Pobble Scull Gaedore as they retained their FAI Schools Senior B Girls National Cup for under 20 small schools yesterday, thanks to a 4-0 win over St Peter's Community School Passage West of Cork. Two goals from Lily McCrory and one each from Marianne Nicaverd and Aoife Nagy gave the Donegal School the win in Athlone. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined on this evening's programme by the Pobble Scull Gaedore manager, Michelle Ferguson. Michelle, thanks very much for popping on The Score this evening. I'm sure it's been an enjoyable 24 hours or so since the girls got the job done yesterday.
It is indeed. Oh my goodness, it's fantastic. And it's been great celebrations. From that minute that last whistle was blown, we were really hoping to do it for the second time yesterday, and we were lucky to get the win yesterday.
And this is the second year in a row that the school have claimed this title, is that right?
Second year in a row at the Senior B title. And then the majority of that team would have been part of my panel when we won in 2022 at under 15 level. So for some of them girls yesterday, it would have been their third national title.
Very good. It just goes to show, I suppose, that hard work pays off. And, you know, you obviously have a group of girls there that are buying into their football at school, and you can achieve great things.
Oh yeah, fantastic. And I think, you know, it's a testament to the locality down here. You know, the hard work's coming. It's not me who's putting in the hard work. The hard work's coming, you know, before they come into us in school. There is great support with the local teams in terms of Gaedore United and Gaedore Celtic, and although there's none of the players on my team from Glenaid, they would also be in the school, so they're doing a huge amount of work with the girls. And to be honest, it was an easy job for me when they came to me kind of in second year because of COVID. Some of them missed out in first year, but the work is done. And even in terms of support, we would have been doing training at a few of the evenings before the match just because it worked out better and not a problem. There was pitches available, to training pitches available for challenge matches. They're just fantastic, and it just shows. Even yesterday there was people from the local clubs there yesterday supporting the girls, and it just shows how much it means, you know, to everyone in the community. And even last night when we travelled home, there was a cavalcade from Crawley with the local Garda escort to take us home to the school, and there was bonfires. It was just unbelievable to show how much it means, not only, you know, to the girls and to the school, but just to the local community. It's fantastic.
Sure is. Let's talk about a wee bit about the game yesterday. You just got off to a flying start, 1-0 up after just a couple of minutes, I think it was. That was an ideal way to settle a few nerves.
It was indeed, yeah. Generally, so usually when the girls go out, we are, you know, they do start well. And we were lucky to get that quick goal from Lily. She's a fantastic player. She's actually third year, so there's plenty more to come from Lily. But she got a great goal in. And then, to be honest, it was tight enough first half. You know, St. Peter's kept coming back at us, and we were glad to go in with the 1-0 advantage at halftime. We kind of had a good team talk then at halftime. And, you know, there's seven on that panel that are 6 years, so there was their, you know, final hurrah. So we really wanted to push it on the second half and make sure we secured the win. And I got to say, it came out that second half and they were phenomenal. There was just kind of some sort of, you know, electricity. And I know that sounds crazy, but you could just see there was fire in their belly. Everyone gave 110% out in that pitch yesterday. There wasn't, you couldn't have picked out a player of the match, possibly Lily because she scored the two goals, but you know, it was a team effort and they were just phenomenal. I think, and it wasn't a case, you know, with the 4-0, you think, God, that was a good scoreline, but it didn't feel like a 4-0 match. It was like they kept coming at us, but our girls just, they just stepped it up to another level. They were just phenomenal out there yesterday.
And then the final whistle goes, national champions once again. I'm sure there would have been a few celebrations on the way up the road.
Oh, it was just unreal. You know, it was an emotional day for the girls and for myself, being for some of them their last match, and even for some of the younger ones. You know, they've been playing with the older ones so long, but it was just unreal. We just, you know, we knew we had a good chance at it. Obviously, we were coming in and we were wanting to retain our title, but we knew that St. Peter's had played their semi-final and they had an 8-0 win, so we knew it was going to be a difficult match, but the celebrations were fantastic. My phone didn't stop on the way up, and then when we landed, there was bonfires lit. It was just to celebrate. The girls are just over the moon.
Great stuff. The school itself, they've been really performing well over the last number of years. Even earlier in the week, the boys were unlucky, being beat on penalties in their All-Ireland semi-final. That was a tough one to take for them, and very unfortunate, losing penalties.
Very unfortunate, losing penalties. And, you know, they're like a fantastic group of boys. And again, you know, although they lost on Monday, they have, you know, the majority of that team would have three national titles under their belt. And we really were hoping that we would have been able to do the double with the boys and then the girls, you know, the boys on Monday and then ourselves on Wednesday. And it's just, you know, yourselves in sport, it's just a really difficult way to go out in penalties. You know, they had the chances and it just wasn't converting for them, you know, to finish it off. But I think at that stage, it's just nobody wants to go out in penalties. But yeah, they were very unlucky.
Very unlucky. Finally, Michelle, there's obviously a lot of hard work going on at Pobl Scoil Gaeilge. Numerous examples in recent years of national success. What do you put the success down to?
I think it's hard work. You know, again, it's not just from the part of the school. I think, you know, again, you have to look at the community that we're here down in Gaeilge, and there is fantastic, from in terms of soccer, the local clubs that I've mentioned, like Gaelic, there's so many Gaelic teams, and, you know, feeding into us as school. It's just, they have just a great attitude to sport. And, you know, as a school, we really try to focus on, you know, obviously we huge focus on the academic, but we also focus on, like, you know, yourself, you know, these days, I think it's so important that you're trying to focus on everything in terms of student development. And I see that, you know, when you're doing sport and when you can get a kid involved in sport, for some of them, it might be just a case of getting that person into school. And that's the way that sport is, that way to get them in. You see the rapport that you develop with them. You see just how they develop, how they're so, you know, they just become more mature. And I think, you know, it's a testament to the school. And you can see, like, the amount of national titles won, you know, in the last few years alone, it's unreal, you know. And it's, again, it's not just a soccer, like basketball, athletics, swimming at national level. Like, the school really is, in terms of sport, it's like, it's fantastic, and it's great to see. And you just see, like, even last night when they came home, the crowds that were there, but there were so many of them that are involved in different sports. So I think it just shows, you know, everyone's putting in the hard work. Teachers doing the training, giving up their time, putting in the effort, but the same students are willing, and there's so many talented students coming up that it makes our job a little bit easier as well.
There you go. That is Pobl Scoil Gaeilge manager Michelle Ferguson speaking after their big success yesterday. So congratulations to all involved. A brilliant achievement, and two in a row national champions. Well, Loretta Milford's refixed Senior Girls National Cup semi-final is on tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. They will play Ursuline College of Sligo at the Letterkenny Community Centre. Staying with schools action, there was disappointment for Carndonagh Community School in the Marquee Cup final today. The Inishowen School were beaten 4-12 to 1-15 by St Kieran's of Ballygully at Owen Beg a bit earlier. So from schools football to the League of Ireland, Shamrock Rovers and Derry City will light the touch paper on the 2026 season when they meet in the President's Cup final at Tallaght Stadium this coming Saturday. Rovers, having done the League and Cup double last season, they'll be hoping to lay down an early marker this weekend with a lot of talk about an oncoming title challenge from the Candy Stripes. Among other notable signings, Tiernan Lynch has managed to secure the signatures of brothers James and Patrick McLean, Republic of Ireland international James McLean, and last year's SSE Air Tricity League Player of the Year Michael Duffy have both been speaking to Martin Holmes ahead of this weekend's game. Firstly, here's what McLean has to say about returning to the club and the ambitions to win the club's first Premier Division title since 1997.
You got here?
Aye.
I would say it felt like yesterday when I was leaving, but I wouldn't be the case. I was laughing with Aaron there the other day, saying back home now, 15 years, just basically that's how long it's been, just flown by, and now it's now we're back and really excited to get going. Just
my old broadcasting pal with Highland, Brian Wright, good proud Craigan man. The night you made your debut, he was looking at the sheet and he says, "Watch a wee boy McLean." He says, "He's a Craigan man. Watch him." And Brian was never wrong with a player.
No, that was, I'll tell you how mad that was. 2008, that was summer 2008, and here we are, 2026 now, which is, you know, obviously that's moments to stand out because you don't forget moments like that, but it's a bit scary and a bit surreal that that was what, late, right? How long are we talking? 18 years ago? Like, mental, insane, but, no, I'm still in a good place. I'm still fit. I'm still feel like I've got a lot to offer, which is key. I think players come back to the league when they're basically, it's a PR stunt and they've kind of nothing left to give. And I don't feel that's the case now. Up until what, a few weeks ago, I was still playing championship football regularly. So, I feel the club's now in a good place. I feel they're ready to go to the next level, and I want to be a key part of that.
Had a good season last year, James. You'd have seen that. You were here quite a few times. But the expectation this year is league title.
No, and rightly so. It's been almost 30 years, which is, it's not really acceptable given a stature of this club and on this island. That hasn't been the case when, you know, all our clubs have had periods of success and we haven't. You know, that needs to change. We've been nearly men far too often in the last few seasons. I don't feel that's been a lack of quality. I feel it's been a lack of belief. And this season, when the pressure's on, push comes to shove, you know, we have to, that's what gets you over the line, the belief, and hopefully I can help contribute to that.
This is a very big thing to you. Like, it is really important to you to get back here, because I've watched you at games over the last couple of seasons and you're kicking every ball and you're up on your feet.
No, of course. I'm like born and raised in Derry. I was a Derry fan, obviously, growing up. Got to represent the club before. And now I've always followed Derry from when I went across the water, watched every game. And on Friday nights, and the LOI TV, so no, it means an awful lot to me, and now I get the again contribute. I can do something about it now. You're in the stand sometimes kicking every ball, you can't do nothing about it, but now I've got the opportunity to hopefully contribute and do something about it.
Tierney made some great signings, I think, this year. Mm-hmm. Players with lots of league Ireland experience, yeah. Your brother included. Mm-hmm. Patrick's been around a decade, mm-hmm. and he's only 29. He brings an awful lot this term.
No, he does. His last two spells here, look, he'll admit himself. I don't think it was a lack of ability. I think it was lack of the Derry lifestyle. He was a lot younger then, a lot more immature, got led astray a bit too often. But he's really grown up now, and he's really matured now. It's really hit home now that this is, for him, the last opportunity. Here, Derry to do something. Derry means a lot to him as well. So, obviously, with me here as well, hopefully I can keep him on the straight and narrow, which I don't think I'll have to do. But, you know, he's got that added insurance of me being on him if he doesn't.
Michael, probably a biggest season, definitely in your time at Derry City.
It is, aye. Exciting. We've brought on a lot of quality players this year, and us as a group, we're excited to get started. I'm sure the fans are excited. Can't wait to get back to Brandywell, and look, we can't wait to get started now.
The manager made some great signings, and the thing that I think is good about it, and from talking to supporters, is signed experienced League of Ireland players.
Exactly, a lot of quality from our teams in the League of Ireland. They've always done well against us, and look, the last few weeks, them boys have really gelled them well. They're getting along great in the group, and they've showed their qualities already. And it's they're going to be exciting to play with this year. And the squad, there's a lot of depth in the squad, and players are going to be fighting for position every week, is what you want whenever you want to be successful.
Winning a league title this year must be a genuinely serious option for you now.
It is, aye. And look, every year, the start of the season, that's I always feel like that, and I always be confident that we can go and do it. And it'd be a lot, it'd be harder to take then coming into the season whenever you don't do that. But I'm the same this year. This is probably the most excited I've been since I've been at the club, to be honest, just with the players we brought on and how the squad's looking. So look, I can't wait to get started, and that's obviously going to be our goal throughout the year. It's been too long since they've won that title, and we really want to make something special happen this year.
The signings are very good. Obviously, a lot of speculation, or focus, I should say, on James McLean coming. He eventually gets here. But, I mean, they've signed Patrick, his brother. He's 10 years in the league. He's got good experience of a League Ireland. And the other guys as well have been up here, as you said, played against Derry. You know them and they know you. So, like, everything is building up to a great start.
It is, aye. Look, the two brothers are unbelievable signings for us. Patrick, whenever he came on the Sligo last year, he was probably the best centre half in the league for the last five, six months. So to get him and to get two Derry lads who they've always showed and expressed how much Derry City means to them, and how much they want something at Derry, and to get Patrick in is great. And then James's career he's had is unbelievable, and the level he was still playing at, to get him here now, he's going to be a real driving force for us, and he's going to drive standards, and it's great to have him here.
Finishing in second place and getting into Europe, at the start of last season, you'd have snapped a hand off to get that?
You would have, especially with all the changes last year, new staff, a lot of new players, and for us to finish second last year, I think it's obviously not what we want, but it was still a great year for us. Getting into Europe was huge. We have that exciting part of the season to look forward to this year for us and for the fans. It's great. So it was a good year, but we really need to push on now this year.
Obviously, you need to win your home games. Your first four home games give you a great chance to get, you know, potentially 12 points and get a good solid start to the season.
It does, aye. It's not very often you get that at the start of the season, so it's ideal for us, and we really need to take advantage of that. Look, I'm sure I've seen the excitement around the town already, the amount of people saying to me, you know, they can't wait for the first match, they can't wait for this, and I'm sure the Brandwell's going to be packed out for all them games, and that's what we want. So hopefully we don't disappoint and we get off to a good start.
That was Player of the Season last year, Michael Duffy, and new signing and Republic of Ireland international James McLean on returning to the Brandywell. That President's Cup final gets underway at 5 o'clock at Tallaght Stadium on Saturday, and it will be the league champion Shamrock Rovers versus Derry City, who finished second in the league. Shamrock Rovers obviously also won the FAI Cup last year. Finn Harps are also in action on Saturday. They take on Sligo Rovers in a pre-season friendly at the Showgrounds. Well, there's a big West Tyrone derby in soccer this weekend as Derrickview hosts Strabane Athletic. That one is at Dara Park in Castle Derg in the NIFL Premier Intermediate League. When the sides met earlier in the season, it ended 2-2 at the Melvin Park Arena in Strabane, and both teams are mid-table, but there is still time to move up the league ladder. Well, our own Chris Ashmore has been getting the views from both camps this week. First up, he spoke to Liam McMenamin, who is the captain of Strabane Athletic, who go into the game on the run of good form under their recently appointed manager, Mo Mahan.
Liam, a big local derby match. Yourselves in Derrickview, you've been in a lot of different leagues and divisions over the years, so this is a fairly rare occasion, and no doubt that'll probably add to the whole competitiveness.
Yeah, it will surely. I think over over recent years, you know, as you mentioned there, Derby have always been sort of championship, and obviously with a disappointment to them of coming down into the PIL, and us coming up, as was that sort of golden egg that, you know, that was a fixture that we can look forward to now. We're getting up into that division, and it's probably something that we have been aiming for quite a while. You know, we've probably always looked at Derby and thought, you know, that's where we want to be. So now to be facing them again for the second time around, and we played each other very early on at the start of the year, and you know, quite close contest. There wasn't much in it, and I expect Saturday to be pretty much the same as well. And you know, derby games always come down to basically who turns up in the day and who wants it more.
Yeah, the league table, you're both mid-table. Now, you've a couple of games in hand on the sides at the summit, so if you got a good run from now to the end of the season, you could certainly climb that ladder. And I think I'm right in saying you've won 4 out of your last 5 in the league, so that augurs well.
It does, it does. You know, like our form recently over in the league, you know, has improved. I think for ourselves coming up, but no, coming up into the unknown, not really knowing much about the league and teams in it. Obviously, we knew about the teams in it, but you know, I think we found out pretty quickly that if you're not on it every week in this division, then you get found out, and you know, you really have to be up and at it on every league game. They make sure that you're going to pick up points, and you know, ourselves and the Derg, we sit pretty much beside each other in the league, and I think whoever wins on Saturday, that it would really put you back in amongst it again. But I think for ourselves, it's important that look, we take one game at a time and focus on that instead of looking too far ahead. So no, we're all focused on the game on Saturday.
And you had the recent experience of, I suppose you could call it a taste of the big time in the Cup against Glentoran. So what's the feelings now looking back on that?
Look, you know what, the first fixture where it was meant to be played at Melbourne, that was disappointing for everyone involved, you know, and the club, that there was a lot of hard work went on behind the scenes and organising. They held such a game of that stature in our own town, and for it to be postponed due to weather, it was a bit of a big blow, and we were sort of licking our wounds for a while. But we went up and played when it was rearranged then the Tuesday night up Nova, and for large parts of the game, you know, we done really well. We were under no illusions, obviously, how difficult it was going to be. The Glens were going really well this year, sitting third in Irish League and are full time. So for as well as what we done had set up, they had good bits of quality players in certain areas. And you know, when you're at the level we're at, you can be structurally sound and really well organised, but it might just only take a wee bit of brilliance from players at that level and they undo you. But overall, it was really good, and I thought, like, our squad's relatively young, so going forward, you know, the younger lads have a taste for what it's like. They play players at that standard and be in them surroundings. So overall, it would have been a great experience for us.
Now, tell us a little bit about the current squad. It seems that there's always a smattering of Donegal players or coaches or backroom team in some shape or form.
That's right. We have a mix of Donegal men and Derry men, and then a quite few local lads as well, you know, and around the team as well, and the backroom team. Obviously, Mo's came in recently, and he's just starting to get his teeth in there now, but I think no overall impressions with Mo and his backroom team. Obviously, he's kept on Emmett and Wuzzy and Marty the physio and Kevin, and he's brought on Orr McDade and boys like that, you know, and they've been top class. So they have the boys have really bought into what they're trying to do, and we have a good core in the Stirling team at the minute. And you know, it's important for us, like the local lads. I don't know, when there's people from Ike's Donegal and Derry and things like that, that when they're coming into the club, but, you know, we always made sure that everybody was made feel very welcome, and you know, that carries us well, and we're sort of basically a family tight knit group, you know, and that serves us well. You know, over the last couple of years, it's been built over the years, and you know, that structure and that real togetherness.
That is Strabane captain Liam McMenamin. Well, Derrickview have been pretty active in the transfer window in recent weeks, and they'll be hoping to continue their fairly good home form. Their manager Andrew Sproul has also been speaking with Chris this week.
Well, Andrew, as you go into this game, it's a big North West derby. There's a long, long way to go in this season. So although you're mid-table, you do have games in hand on those above you. So if you can get a bit of momentum, who knows what might happen between now and the end of the campaign?
Yeah, as you probably touched on it there, it's all about momentum, and that's what it's probably trying to go under now. So it is, you know, getting momentum in the league. There's been quite a few cup games to kind of start off with, so there has, you know, so now our full concentration's on the league. So, yep, it's about just hitting momentum in the right time and seeing where that takes you then.
You've been perhaps a little bit inconsistent, but I see you're availing of the transfer window. You've brought in a number of players, including Corey McLaughlin from Ballyclare and Zach McFadden, a young defender who'd been playing with Buncrana Hearts. And there's a couple of other guys who've returned to the club.
Yeah, Shock. We were active in January, and it was trying to bring in players that strengthen our squad. We had a good squad of young lads there, so it was trying to just strengthen it. We've got experience. Corey's come in and Zach's come in, and we had signed Ryan Mays, so we had a local lad had come in as well with that experience of playing Irish League football. It's about trying to keep it as competitive as possible, so it is. And yes, when the right players come in, we try and bring them in then, so we do.
Now, as we look forward to Saturday's game, how big a factor do you think home advantage is?
Look, we've been quite good at home, so we have. Our form's been good, so look, it's something that we'll try and maintain throughout the season, so it is. As I say, you always want your home form being very good, so look, Strabane, it's a close, it's a derby, so it is, and everybody knows derbies can go anyway, so they can. It's just, it's all about applying yourself in the correct manner, and Strabane have done recent well for 8 years and pushed through the leagues, and they've got a good experienced side there, so it is. So we're going to have no illusion that it'll be a tough test on Saturday.
And finally, Andrew, what sort of game do you expect on Saturday?
Saturday, hey, it's one of them ones that they've a new manager in there now, so they have, and Strabane, there's never an easy game against Strabane, so it is, it's always a tough affair, so it is, and that's probably going in, speaking as in all the games that you have in this league, you just can't take nothing for granted, but look, the boys will realise it's a derby, everybody loves derby games. If you can't get yourself up for a derby, well then, you shouldn't be playing at all, but no, we'll realise the challenge, as Strabane coming up in the Dara Park, so well, and look, hopefully we'll end it, we'll be cheering at the end of it, but that's football, look, it's all which way it goes on Saturday, but no, we'll be well ready for them.
Derryview manager Andrew Sproul talking to our own Chris Ashmore ahead of that game, which gets underway at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Locally, there's action in the Donegal Junior Leagues this weekend. We'll start with Saturday, the pick of the games in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1. Top of the table, Kildrum Tigers are in action against third place Drumbar FC. In the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, it'll be third against fourth when Milford United welcome the challenge of Drumkeen United. On Sunday's action, the pick of the games in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division is third place Donegal Town taking on Kildrum Tigers, who currently sit fifth, and they had a good result last week beating Bonagie. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, second place Capri Rovers are up against Convoy Arsenal, and in another interesting tie, top of the table Kerry Keel will be hoping to maintain their good form. They are away to Gidore United. In the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, top of the table Raphoe Town are at home to Lifford Celtic. And there are two games in the Brian McCormick Cup this weekend. Deal Harps play Drummuhle, and it is Letterkenny Rovers taking on Bonagie United, a Letterkenny derby in that one. And in a show, there's action in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. Cockhill Celtic are yet to drop a point this season. They are 10 wins from 10 at the summit of that division. They're at home to QPS, while at second place Clonmany Shamrocks, they are at home to Kildaff. Also games in Division 1 and 2 of the Inishowen Football League. Well, it's time for a break on the programme. When we come back, we'll be talking to Declan Kerr, who is going to look ahead to this Friday's Donegal Sports Star Awards. Stay tuned. You're very welcome back to the programme. Well, the 50th edition of the Donegal Sports Star Awards are almost upon us, and it all goes down tomorrow night at the Mount Errigal Hotel. And joining us now on the programme is one of the chief organisers of the event, Declan Kerr. Declan, thank you very much for popping on. How have the preparations been going for tomorrow night?
Yeah, listen, it's been a busy few weeks, Mark, just getting ready, but we're putting the final touches to it now, and we're pretty much set now to go on Friday night. It's going to be a huge night. It's the 50th anniversary, so it's a very special occasion, and we're expecting around 600 guests to the banquet. So listen, there's a lot of stuff has been put together in terms of the organisation to hopefully make it a big night now on Friday night.
Yeah, you're all set. On the night, there are 37 categories up for grabs. Two winners have already been announced, though, with Niamh McLaughlin and Katrina Jennings already named as award winners.
Yeah, Katrina obviously had a hugely successful year with us, especially on the international circuit with that 100-mile run in the US. And, of course, Niamh has been starring in Australia and the Aussie football. And there is one other as well, Mark, since that we had the Hall of Fame. We announced the Hall of Fame there about 2 weeks ago. And Eamon Harvey from Kirkconnellacy in Donegal Town is going to be the next inductee into the Hall of Fame. And, of course, Eamon Harvey is a legend in Donegal athletics, not alone Donegal, but across the country and abroad. He's coached Irish teams at Olympics and Paralympics, so we're looking forward to having Eamon there and a very deserving recipient of the Hall of Fame.
For sure. Something that always sticks out to me when I'm going through these awards is how prominent the school sports are. And these awards are a great way of recognising some of the great work being done in schools around the county, not only by the young athletes, but also the teachers that put so much into it as well.
Yes, schools has been a huge part of the Donegal Sports Star Awards, Mark, going back to the very early years. I think the first award for schools was in 1977, and the County Council got involved at that time as the sponsor of the schools. And the schools thing has grown over the years. We have nine categories for between primary and secondary. And it's a very important part of the awards, and it's a very important part of the banquet night, because those young people, boys and girls, that come to the banquet on Friday night, they're going to be there. They're going to be seeing the adult stars there from the different sports. And it's something for them to aspire to. And listen, we have a track record over the years of those people that have achieved at schools going on to achieve then at county, provincial, national and international level. So, it's a great starting point, and it's a very important part of the Donegal Sports Star Awards.
Our special guest on the night is none other than Brian Kerr. Great to have a man like that on board to present the winners their awards.
Yeah, I mean, we're delighted to get a special guest of the calibre of Brian Kerr. And I suppose Brian needs little introduction, especially to football followers. I mean, his track record in management from St. Patrick's Athletic to Irish international youth teams to the Irish senior team. Listen, it speaks for itself, and we're delighted that he'll be with us. I suppose Brian, in more recent times, is known for his analyst work with Virgin Media, covering Premiership matches and covering the games in Europe as well. So, yeah, we're delighted to have him. And Brian has a lot of connections with Donegal, because way back he was the manager of the National Irish Technical Colleges teams. So there was a number of players from Donegal who played under Brian on international teams, and so listen, he has a lot of connections with Donegal, and we're looking forward to having him there, and he'll be a good guest too to have that a wee talk to as well.
That's it. So there's always a massive crowd at these events, Declan. I'm sure you're expecting a big crowd again this Friday, and you're looking for the guests to arrive there in good time. What are the recommendations?
Well, I suppose first of all, it's for people to give themselves plenty of time to get there, to drive safely. Parking around the hotel is going to be at a premium. There's also roadworks continuing there on the Ballyrain Road, so we're asking people to get there as early as possible. The doors will open at 5:30, so we're asking people to be there, at least start coming in from around 6 o'clock. We hope to start, and we would plan to start at 7 o'clock sharp. So just ask people to leave plenty of time for their journeys, get there early, and enjoy, soak up the atmosphere before we get started. We'll have 15 awards before the meal, and then we'll do the rest of the awards then after the meal, along with a chat to Brian Kerr as well. So that's the message, just get there. We have a big crowd. Listen, we're on around 600 again this year, so that's a lot of people, and so it just takes time to get there, and just be bear in mind that parking will be. We have secured extra parking across the road from the hotel as well, but it will be all needed, Mark.
That is one of the chief organisers of the Donegal Sports Star Awards, Declan Kerr, and that all goes down tomorrow night. We'll have plenty of reaction from the Donegal Sports Star Awards across our weekend sports shows. Now, turning the focus to rallying, and the Galway International Rally is on this weekend with 2 days of action kick-starting the Irish Tarmac Championship for 2026. There's lots of Donegal interest as always, and Highlands' Oisín Kelly looked ahead to the event with Rory Kennedy. But firstly, they had a quick chat on some other rallying matters from the world stage.
Before we talk about Galway, Rory, we have to mention the guys that were involved in the WRC. Of course, you know them well, young Shane Byrne, navigator with Fermanagh's John Armstrong, part of the M Sport team now going forward for the year. It's a huge year for them. Listen, they didn't finish Monte Carlo, but at the same time, it was a hugely impressive performance by the two guys, particularly in the first day where they're up as far as third. But the way they managed themselves through the weekend, unlucky at the end not to finish, but it really was an impressive start to their WRC career.
It was an incredible start from indeed Oisín. There's no doubt about that. Nobody can deny them that. They were up as far as third on the first day, which is way beyond their wildest dreams. And the fact it was, the rally was, you know, the Monte Carlo rally, the very essence of it is that it's a winter rally, and you've got all sorts of conditions between rain, snow, ice, black ice, and the stages are very, very difficult. And the boys just sat back there. You know, it was their very first rally for M Sport in a Rally 1 car in the World Championship. So their approach was, you know, that, you know, to sort of find their way, pick their way through it and try and be there at the end. But because everybody else fell by the wayside and because of their own speed, they were able to acquit themselves very well. And, you know, they ended up a very simple wee accident on the last day. They put them out of the rally, but they left a huge mark, a very indelible mark on the rally. And I would say they'd done themselves no harm at all. The way they conducted themselves, the way that John conducted himself, Shane, proved more than capable of competing at this level. So really, you know, it's something that we can look forward to throughout the season. That's the first rally out of 14, I think.
And probably the toughest one too.
Probably the toughest one, the one that's the biggest lottery, you know. So, like, we're incredibly proud of what they achieved and how they conducted themselves. And, look, we really look forward to Sweden now in 2 weeks' time, and hopefully they can continue the form.
And we'll mention Josh McAuley, and he had difficulties on all 3 days. It wasn't the best event for him, but no doubt he will be back, because I've seen a piece on social media. He was in the gym and ready to go again, and he's targeting a good performance now, Sweden, next time out. So the best of luck to the Irish crews, who are still set to compete on the world stage come Sweden in a number of weeks' time. But this weekend, it's the Galway International Rally. Rory, you've won it 5 times with 3 different drivers. You know what it takes to win in Galway. It's not the easiest one to win. What are the crews all expecting this weekend?
Well, the Galway Rally, it's a unique rally insofar as it's a proper winter rally. Like, you have the full conditions. You can see this week with the floods and the rains that we have, particularly down the southeast and in the south, and this all affects the rally, and it leaves the conditions. You know, the road's really muddy and slippy, and all sorts of conditions that the drivers have to deal with on the day. But in saying that, it's an ideal challenge. Like, if a driver's up for it, you know, there's a result can be got here, because everybody, you know, anybody has a cautious approach is fair enough. They're looking at they're taking a longer view. But if you go at it and prepare to take a few risks at the start, you know, the possibilities of, you know, being there at the end are very strong.
Yeah. It's an entry list that's full of Skodas. This seems to be the end car at the moment. So it does. Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan, the defending Tarmac champions, are in there in one, as is Eddie Doherty and Tom Murphy, the defending national champions. They're seated 1 of 2, and already at this early stage of the year, they're going to have X's on the backs. They're the guys that will be chased down here. So they were, but they also are the two types of drivers that want to make a bit of a statement in the opening round.
Yeah, well, you can't deny Callum. Like, he's a very accomplished driver at this stage. Won four rallies outright this year, four majors, which is a fair achievement in any man's book. Irish champion as well. Eddie Doherty is the national champion. He's won the national championship throughout the country in 25 as well. So both in Skodas, and Eddie would be more in the ascendancy, whereas Callum is more established driver now at this stage. So Callum has never won in Galway, but he's been second, I think, in the past. And, you know, he's a driver who you would have to say is in good form. And, you know, you'd expect that Callum is definitely going to be in the mix. Now, Eddie's very fast as well, but, you know, Callum is the man to look out for here.
Yeah. Eamon Kelly and Conor Mohan are in a Toyota Yaris. back rallying at home after being on the world stage at junior level for a number of years. This is going to be a good test for Eamon. He's seated in at three, and I suppose it's all about managing the rally. Can he be in the top step in the podium come Sunday?
Well, I would have to say I've rallied with Eamon a bit, as you know, in the past. And in fact, I've been involved with a few tests in the new Toyota as well there recently.
Okay,
and I have to say it's a very impressive car and very impressive package. And Eamon, again, he's coming back from 3 years in the World Championship where he's competed in rallies all over Europe and Scandinavia. And he won outright in Finland and he won outright in Croatia, I think, in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eamon's a very capable driver, very capable driver as well. And he's a very good co-driver as well. Conor Mohan, who's been with him for many years. And they, as a team together, work very well. I don't expect him to be there right at the start, but as the rally goes on, I expect Eamon to get stronger and stronger. And, you know, I would consider him a wee bit of a black horse. He hasn't done the Galway rally very many times, I think maybe once or twice in the past, but I expect him to definitely be on the hunt towards the end.
Okay. The Boyle family are there in large numbers once again. Michael, Declan and Matthew, father and the two sons. And listen, they had a big year last year, so they did, particularly Michael, picking up a number of ones. And they'll be looking for a steady start and will be looking to make some sort of impact in the top three places.
Well, what can you say about the Boyd family, really, when it comes to rallying? You know, Declan's a past winner of the Galway Rally as well, I might add. So, and Michael's got, I think Michael won the Cork Rally,
Cork
20,
yeah.
You know, and I think they had a 1-2-3 in Wexford, was it, or somewhere last year. So, look, this family is very serious when it comes to rallying. Like, and definitely expect Michael and Declan to be up there. Matthew's coming strong as well, and they always have the best cars and the best teams to look at. To look after them. So I expect strong performances there. We have six Skodas, I think, in the top 10, two Toyotas and two Fords. So there's a bit of a mix there in terms of the Fords are still going to be in the hunt as well. Still very, you know, very strong.
David Kelly's another Donegal driver. Dale McGettigan is a Donegal navigator who's sitting with Ryan Loughran. Listen, they're seated inside the top 10. Obviously, new machinery in the Skoda for David Kelly too.
Yeah, Davis moved up to Skoda now from the Citroen, and he came very close to winning a couple of times last year, and I think his first win's not far away. Galway's a difficult rally, tricky rally, and all the drivers are out doing their recce today. They're doing their pace notes today and tomorrow. So, you know, expect David as well to have a good, strong result, very fast, and he's a very good co-driver again with Shane Buckley, and the Skoda's a very good package, so expect them to be right there. Ryan Loughran, Dale McGettigan, and the Fiesta, they were getting faster and faster last year, finishing the top three, at least on one occasion last year. So, you know, the boys will be there too to pick up the pieces if anybody happens to fall away as the rally goes on.
Yeah, lots of guys in that top 15 will be looking for to finish in the top three in Galway this weekend. But we move to the modifieds, to the two-wheel drive. And the two top seeds are Donegal men. The Darien of Patrick McHugh and the Escort of Mark Alcorn are in at number 20 and 21. They're the leading modified cars seed-wise. Mark has won in Galway before in this section. Patrick McHugh is the big brute of a Darien to take around them narrow roads. So them two guys will be looking to take the honours, certainly, over what could be a long weekend for the modifies if the conditions are tricky.
Yeah, for sure, Oisin. And, you know, it's great to see two Donegal drivers heading up the modified section as well. I was speaking to Patrick McHugh last year about the Darien, and he said he absolutely loves it. He's made the transition from the Escort to the Darien, and he says he absolutely loves it. It works very well. Now, Galway, the roads can be very narrow in places and muddy and slippy, so it'll be interesting to see how he manages to put the power of that Darien down. You know, it could be tricky enough. Mark Alcorn, past winner in Galway as well. You don't know what to get from Mark. You get a winner, you get something else very quickly, but expect him to be in the mix very much so as well.
And just our final section, Rory, obviously in the juniors, a hugely important category, a new category, of course, in recent years. Ronan Dorrien and Mickey Joe Brown won the National, the Tarmac and the Border last year at junior level. But now it's the turn of a few other Donegal crews. There's a handful of them competing in Galway. And this is a good space to test your driving skills, your navigating skills in what could be very, very difficult conditions.
Yes, for sure. Ushing the juniors is a very important category within the rally and something people should keep an eye on, because obviously that's where the stars of the future are going to come from. You've got Aaron and Keelan Reid there in a Honda Civic at number, well, the fifth seed in the juniors. These lads come from the very famous family, the Reid family, and Letterkenny, Grandad Charlie, and Father Carl and Uncle Uncle Paul. So they're steeped in rally tradition and rally history. So expect them boys to be very quick as well. They've shown good form all at the end of last year. Then you have Patrick Doherty, Colin McNulty from Kilmacrenan again, another Civic. So there'll be a lot of local honours at stake there. So we'll have to see how them boys shape up against each other. And of course then Jimmy Doherty and Owen Moore and another Civic. So look, the juniors are very, very interesting category and something I keep an eye on all the time and compare the times. And I'm delighted to see the Donegal drivers are coming to the fore in this as well. So interesting times ahead for them. So yeah. great start to the season.
An interesting weekend and an exciting weekend. Listen, Rory, enjoy the rally in action in Galway this weekend. Thanks for talking to us.
Cheers, Ozzy.
That is rally legend Rory Kennedy looking ahead to this weekend's Galway International Rally. Now, let's have a look at what's happening in the world of Gaelic games this weekend. The big one, from a Donegal perspective anyway, is the game on Sunday at Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon. It is Donegal taking on Kerry. That one gets underway at 1:30 in the National Football League Division 1. Donegal, of course, coming off the back of that win in the first round against Dublin at Croke Park last week, and Kerry also got a win. They defeated Roscommon. So both of those sides clash at Father Tierney Park in Ballyshannon, and we will have live coverage with Oisin Kelly and Brendan Devaney in association with Highland Motors from that one. Derry and Tyrone face off in Division 2 of the National Football League. That game is on Saturday at 6:00. Celtic Park in Derry is the venue. Derry beaten by Meath in round 1 and Tyrone drawing with Kildare. So be interesting to see how those Northwest sides get on. In the hurling, Donegal are in action in the National Hurling League Division 3. They beat Tyrone last week, and this week it is the challenge of Fermanagh. That game gets underway at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny at 2:00 on Saturday, and Brendan Devaney will have updates from that one. The Tyrone Hurlers, they lost to Donegal last week. They are up against Louth, and the Derry Hurlers are also in action in Division 2. They suffered a heavy defeat to Kerry last week, but they're back on the road. They travel to Portlaoise to face Laois at 1:00 on Sunday. The ladies are back in action this weekend. The Donegal ladies will play Monaghan. Donegal beat Westmeath in round 1 of the National Football League Division 2 last week, and they play Monaghan this week, who suffered a heavy defeat to Tyrone. Tyrone and Derry are also in action in Division 2. Tyrone play Westmeath, and in Division 4 it is Derry up against Longford. Highland's dedicated GA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. On Monday, Brendan Devaney was reviewing Donegal's start to the National Football League, and obviously was speaking about lots more things, Gaelic games. That is on the DL Debate, which you can tune into on the playback section over at highlandradio.com. Now, finally, for this evening in rugby, there's action in Ulster Championship 1 this week. Cook play Omagh. In Ulster Championship 2, it's Letterkenny taking on Ards, and Academy are up against City of Derry. Top of the table, Limavady have an interesting clash. They are at home to Lisburn. In Ulster Championship 3, it is Strabane who are top of the table. They are away to Cavan this week. And in the Provincial North section, second place in Inishowen play top of the table Limavady. That is just about it from me tonight. Jimmy Stafford will be with you just after the 8:00 news. If you missed any of the last hour and want to catch up on any of the interviews, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website over at highlandradio.com. The Score will be back next Thursday from 7:00. From me, Mark Gallagher, have a great evening. Enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.